Reading from Ardhav Chanting, we're on chapter 4, Namabhas. Namabhas is called the clearing stage because it clears or purifies the heart of all sins. This is the intermediate stage where one hears the holy name attentively, carefully avoids offenses, and chants the holy name with determination and enthusiasm. So there's some conditions given here. If one wants to know something about the lakshana of the stage of Namabhas, then there's some lakshana, there's some characteristics given here. One is, this is the second stage, right? Namaparadha, Namabhas, and Shudanam. So in the second stage of Nambhajan, is Namabhas, so there's four characteristics. One is that a person hears the holy name attentively. When we're reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, we were hearing this term, that Shravan Ekman, that when Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sambandha Gyan to his students, instead of Sanskrit one day, then it's explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur that they were Shravan Ekman, that they were hearing with one mind. We went into some discussion about what does that mean, to hear with one mind. Because usually we hear with thousands of minds. Today's mind, tomorrow's mind, yesterday's mind, and so many ideas and desires, minds, but not with Ekman. So Shravan Ekman. So this is the type, this is the first characteristic of Namabhas, is that we should hear attentively, with one mind, our full concentration, our full ideas, and we hear these three functions of the mind, this, manana, bhava, and icha. So this, there's kriya, you can say, willing, or icha. So all the thoughts should be centered on the holy name. All our feelings should be for the holy name, or even we have no feelings, obviously, or at least we don't. So then that becomes a prayer. Our lack of feeling becomes a prayer, which engages that portion of our mind, the feeling portion of our mind, because we're dealing with the first characteristic of Namabhas. So you want to chant Namabhas? Then the first thing it said is that we should hear attentively. So how to hear attentively? That means the Ekman, our full mind is fixed on the sound vibration of Krishna's name and the meaning of the holy name. Prabhupada gave a very profound and deep meaning of the holy name, which takes one from the bodily concept to the Atma concept, Aham Brahmasmi. It takes one from the Atma concept to the Seva Bhavana, or the Svabhava, being a servant. And it takes one from Seva Bhavana to realization of a Siddhadeya. And it takes one from realization of Siddhadeya into Bhoma Vrindavan. And it carries one into realization of Vastu Siddhi, and which is the perfection of life. Because Prabhupada's meaning of the holy name, although seeming simple, it has all these aspects included in it. It takes us from the bodily concept to the spiritual concept and ultimately to realizing our spiritual form, our eternal spiritual form waiting for us in the spiritual sky. What is the meaning that Prabhupada gave us for meditation? Mantra Dhyan. Mantra Dhyan. We should chant the holy name and meditate on the meaning. Every acharya is telling this. This is the beginning stage for the sadhaka, that we chant and meditate on the meaning. What meaning did Prabhupada give us? Oh, Srimati Radharani. Anyone heard this? Oh, energy of the Lord. Oh, Param Shakti. Oh, Sarva Shakti Mai. Oh, energy of the Lord. Oh, reservoir of all power and potencies and energies of the Lord. Oh, Srimati Radharani. Oh, divine love potency. Oh, energy of the Lord. Please engage me in the service of Krishna. Purushottam. Purushottam Sri Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, the supreme creator and maintainer. So this is a begging. This is a meaning. The name means this. The name means Radha and Krishna. Radha Krishna Yugal. Radha Raman, Ram. And Hare, Radha. And Krishna, Shamsundar, Brajendra Nandan, Krishna. So the name is Radha and Krishna. So if I'm approaching Radha and Krishna, anyone that approaches Radha and Krishna, anyone that has any intimacy or any association with Radha and Krishna, they can only have that proximity or that association by seva. Because no one approaches Radha and Krishna unless they come for seva. Everyone is serving, pleasing. So we're praying, oh, Radharani, I'm approaching this holy name. Please engage me in your seva, in the seva of your feet and Krishna's feet. Now, this is a beautiful and perfect meaning. Although the other acharyas have given very deep and profound meanings mixed with lila and gun and so many things, but this meaning is quite sufficient. And this is the meaning that Prabhupada gave for the members of ISKCON. And a few different times he spoke about this meaning and presented it with slight variations, but still, it's there. It's all about seva, a service mentality, seva svabhav. And any bhav you discuss, whether you talk about gopi bhav, everyone says, oh, gopi bhav. Gopi bhav, sakya bhav, vatsalya bhav. Any bhav you talk about, bhav means love. Love means seva. Seva is the foundation of any love. Love thrives in the soil of service. Love grows in the soil of service, and love produces its greatest and sweetest fruits in the soil of surrendered service. So if there's no seva mentality, or seva svabhav, or let's say, the proper word would be abhiman, if there's no seva abhiman, then there's no possibility to enter the seva dham. Nitya dham, Braja dham is seva dham. It is a place of seva. It is a place of pure love. No one is positioning there. No one is positioning. If you want positioning, you have to go to Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is a place of positioning. Everyone, you can jockey for position there. You can move your cards in a certain way and get Sharshti Mukti, which means you can sit on the lap of Vishnu. You can have his opulence. Or you can move your cards in such a way, move your chess pieces, you can get Samipya Mukti. And you can sit on the lap of the Lord. You can have proximity and enjoy it. There's a certain pleasure one derives there, Samanjasa. And then you can move your cards in a certain way and you get Silokya. You can live on the same planet. You can enjoy Vaikuntha opulence, but you don't really see Lakshmi Narayan hardly at all. Maybe once in a while, if they drive by your house in their chariot or something. And Silokya. And then Sarupya. You can be satisfied just to look like God. Look at me. I'm God. I look like God. I'm God. And you can walk around with forearms and blue skin and be happy that way. But then there's not the seva there is not so much purified. There's prema there, but the prema is mixed. But in Goloka, this is the pure seva bhava. And the Prabhupada wanted everyone, he was trying to give the holy name and mix the holy name with Braj bhava. Because Mahaprabhu has come to spread Raghunuga bhakti. Raghunuga bhakti is the bhavas and sentiments of the Brijvasis. Vatsalya bhava and Madhurya bhava and Sakya bhava. So all those bhavas are based on the pure service mentality. So Prabhupada, he was broadcasting from day one. Chanare Krishna, with this mentality, if you purify and develop this, realize this mentality, you'll qualify to receive one of the bhavas of Vrindavan, the Madhurya bhava, Gopi bhava. So that's the first thing, to hear the holy name attentively. The second thing is to carefully avoid offenses. So these are the symptoms of one at the intermediate stage. A few days ago, we said, oh, what are the 10 offenses? And people didn't even know. People sitting here said, one offense is sadhu-ninda. But this is part of the bhajan krama, the sequence of bhajan. Just like if you go into a classroom, there's something to do. First, you sit in the seat. Then the teacher takes roll, at least in the old days. And you raise your hand. Here, 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 here. And then you open your book. And then you open your notebook. Of course, now you open your notebook computer, I suppose. But in those days, you open your notebook and get out your pen. And then you put on your glasses so you can see the blackboard if you wear glasses. And then the teacher says, now listen. And the class begins. And so every day you go through this sequence. And then every day when you go to class, you have to remember to bring my textbook and bring my notebook and bring my pen and bring my glasses and bring my eraser. So the same thing, when we sit down for our class in japa, every day we have a class in japa, there are certain things we do. We bring our beads. That's the first thing. We bring our beads and our bead bag and we sit in front of Tulsi or Thakurji. And then we maybe do achman if we're really formal, really have like a brahminical strain. If we have like a brahminical strain, then we'll throw an achman here and there. and pretend we're like really Pukka Brahmins and pretend we're super clean and purify our hands and throw some water on the mala and purify the asana. And we may do these things. Or we may jump right into it. But even then, there's some sequence. We sit in front of Tulsi. Then what do? We chant the Shikshastakam. Of course, already you've chanted Guruvastakam during Brahma Muhurt hour. That's primary, to remember Guru at the beginning of any type of bhajan. So we chant Guruvastakam and pray for Guru Kripa. Then we chant Shikshastakam. Then we review the 10 offenses and pray to the Pancha Tattva that we can avoid those offenses. And then we chant one round of Pancha Tattva mantra, or four rounds of Pancha Tattva mantra, or at least one time. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasi Gopi Hare Krishna 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 Hare Krishna. And we're off. And the race is on. Jump, one, two, and two, and three, and four, and five, six, 16, Hari Bhau! All right. Sharira Vidijal Tindriya Tekal. Wow, I was waiting for that. But this is the sequence. Count the 16 as fast as you can and eat Mahaprasad. Forget the 10 offenses, forget the Shikshastakam, forget the Tulsi, forget everything. But this is not a really way. This is Ulta Bhajan. This is Viparita Bhajan. This is upside down. It's not proper. It's not the system. So we do it right. If you start right, you end up right. As they say in business, observe the law of 5 P's. I don't mean matar. Matar is P's, right? Matar? Panch matar. 5 P's means, what does it mean? Proper preparation prevents poor performance. You got it? If you don't prepare, okay, let's go on a vacation. Okay, jump in the car, let's go. And you jump in the car, and everyone's driving somewhere for vacation. They're driving from Calcutta, Jagannathpuri in their car. Oh, did you bring the spare tire? Oh, I forgot the spare tire. Who needs a spare tire? We have 4 tires, that's enough. Acha. Well, did you bring like a big can of gas? Because sometimes the gas stations are on strike and maybe we'll run out of gas, so we should have some extra gas in the trunk. Oh, I forgot the gas. Did you bring the tiffin? You know, the 10-story tiffin. Ten level tiffin with, 10 kilos rubbery and samosas and kachoris. Oh my God! That's the worst of all. I forgot the tiffin. Oh, wow. Well, did you bring some money so we can pay for the hotel? Oh, I forgot the money. So you're off to a good vacation, right? No money, no spare tire, no food, and no gas. But we think we can do bhajan with no preparation. You just jump out of bed and hari wow, hari wow. So there's some system. And if we follow this system, this sadhana means system. Sadhana means systematic. There's something called bhav seva and bhav bhajan and bhava bhakti. But there's some system to come to that level. And this is a standard. There's a standard system, a standard methodology that we should follow. Just like in college. College is going on for hundreds of years. You simply enroll and get in line, and after some years you come out with a degree. They have a systematic educational program. They have a syllabus. Year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4. And you enroll and enlist and attend and perform, and you get the result. So sadhana is nothing less than that. It's a school. This is a school. It's a school of reformation, a school of purification, a school of consciousness, a consciousness college. Right? UCC, Universal Consciousness College. So there are teachers, there are students, there are classrooms, there are textbooks, there's homework, there's questions, there's answers, and so many other things too. But that's only the external application of mind and senses. The difference between this school and other schools is we have to apply our heart. It's a heart school. The heart, the feelings, the bhav has to be there at every stage. Otherwise, the graduation will be very slow. So, hear the holy name attentively. Carefully avoid offenses. And the third thing is a requirement, requisite, to chant the holy name with determination and enthusiasm. Oh, I don't feel good. I don't think I make it today, 16 rounds. It's like, I don't feel so good. Maybe tomorrow I'll make up for today. No, determination. No, I must do it today. Like Prabhupada used to say, you can't finish your rounds, then you're in a diseased condition of life. Oh, Prabhupada, I don't have enough time. My kids, my house, the family, this, that. Are you eating? Well, yes, Prabhupada. Acha. Are you sleeping? Oh, yes, Prabhupada. Okay, stop eating. Stop sleeping. Finish your rounds. Acha. So this type of statement means that chanting is more primary, more urgent, and more critical or required than eating and sleeping, which to us is the most urgent call of the day. There's nothing more urgent than eating and sleeping. The Prabhupada is trying to change the sense of urgency. He's trying to redefine our priorities. Because life after life, we have one set of priorities. There's fourfold priorities that we all carry life after life. Ahara, Nidra, Maitun, and Bhayam. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, fighting, overriding someone, defeating someone, lording over someone. This is all Bhayam, fearing, defending our position, asserting our ego. This all comes under this category. Asserting our godhood and showing how we're better than someone. In the course of conversation or social dealings, you say so many things, and I listen. And you try, by your speech, you try to establish your greatness. How you did this, and you did that, and you went there, and you went there, here and there, and you did this and that. And I say, yes, yes. But let me tell you what I did. And then the person listens. But I did more than you. And I did better than you. And this is called defending. This is the Bhayam principle. Asserting one's false ego to defeat another, to establish our supremacy. So this is going on. So now Prabhupada said, change your priorities. Hear, chant, and remember. And everything else comes next. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. This is the life force. This is the breath. This is the pran, bhakti pran, bhakti jivan. Bhakti pran, bhakti jivan. This is the life force and the very life of the... energy of the soul is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Hear, chant, and remember Krishna's Nam, Rup, Guna, and Leela. Everything else, forget about it. Nidra, Hara, Vihara, Kadi, Vijito, Chadyanta, Dinachayo. The six Goswamis, they establish this as the priorities for human life. These are the priorities. These are the urgencies. These are the absolute necessities. Eating, you're all too fat. Sleeping, you all sleep too much. You all means we all. We're all fat. We all sleep too much. We all eat too much. But no one can say, you chant too much. You're chanting too much. You're remembering Krishna too much. You're remembering Krishna now. Stop it. Slow down. You're going to be a pure devotee in no time. And you're hearing about Krishna all the time. You're always hearing tapes and hearing Bhagavatam and going to classes. Stop this. Now listen to radio a little bit and listen to TV and slow down and listen to BBC and find out what's happening with the demons around the world. You have to keep up on the demon news. Asura Samachar. What's the news with the demons? Because that's what the news is. If you want to find out about the demons, turn on the radio and TV and look at a newspaper. If you want to find out about the devotees, open the Bhagavatam. Or Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is the news. This is Bhakti Samachar. Bhagavat Samachar. This is the news. Good news. Good news from Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya has become a Vaishnava. Now he's preaching. Good news from Navadvip. Yesterday, at 11:14 in the morning, Nimai Pandit closed his Sanskrit school.
Evil!
Now, here's our eyewitness newscaster, Sunil Banerjee, on the scene. Sunil, well, take it away. Well, here, now I'm interviewing some of the students. They're just coming out of the school right now. See, here's the school in the background. Excuse me. Mr. Chatterjee, you were one of the students of Pandit Chatterjee. You were one of Nimai's students. How does it feel that you quit school? Oh, it feels great. I'm so happy now to join the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. We're going to go town to Nagar, Gare to Gare, house to house, village to village, chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hoodie bowl. Well, this is your on-site newscaster, Mr. Banerjee from Navadvip. So now... back to Calcutta. Yesterday, there was a Rath Yatra sponsored by ISKCON, Calcutta. Six people were crushed under the Rath cars. When they interviewed the temple president, he said, "Jai Ho!"
Joy.
They all attain mukti. That was his comment. So this is the spiritual news. I mean, what do we need this? All this BBC XYZ. Attention to the holy name, avoid offenses, and chant with determination and enthusiasm. Although not perfect, the stage of Namabhas is very beneficial because it leads to pure chanting and Krishna prema. The fallen Brahmin, Ajamil, was saved from hell by calling out the name Narayan, his favorite son. Ajamil's chanting was an abhas, a semblance, that's what it means, semblance of the real pure holy name. Srimad Bhagavatam describes in his connection Namabhas, 6th canto, chapter 2, verse 14. One who, it says, Sanketyam parihasyam va, stobham helanam evava, vaikunta namagrahanam, asheshaga haram vidu. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins. Aga means sin, aga. Ashesh means unlimited, like Sheshnag. Ashesh aga haram vidu. It takes away. Haram. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else. Sanketyam. Jokingly, parihasyam, or for musical entertainment. Stomam helanam. Or even neglectfully. Well, that's helanam. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. So this is Vidu. Vidu means learned scholars, Vidu. Those who have knowledge, Ved, are called Vidu. Vaikuntha Nama Grahanam. So this is the power of Vaikuntha Nama, this transcendental spiritual name of the Lord. Even if you joke about it, or you chant indirectly. Because in America, especially, they have these different places, they have the name of the Lord. They have like Lanjarama. Lanjarama is a store. It has lots of washing machines inside. And you put in a couple of rupee coins and put in your wash, and then the machine goes around. It's a coin-operated machine. And they're called Lanjarama. They say, "Oh, I'm going down to Lanjarama." So you're saying Ram. And you're chanting indirectly Ram's name, so you get benefit. Or they have supermarkets, like you have Super Bazaar and Big Bazaar and all these type of places. They have where they sell food, like a big food store. It's called Wonderama. Wonderama. You know, Chamatkar. Chamatkar Rama. Adbhuta Rama. So Wonderama. He says, "Oh, I'm going to Wonderama." You know, so they're chanting Ram's name. So then you get the benefit, even indirectly. So this is something about Namabhas. There's more things here. 627... let's see. Yeah. 67. I'm just reading different sections here. This section is how to rise from Namabhas to Shuddhanam. This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jivadharma. He says, one should associate with pure devotees, Shuddhavaktas, and chant the holy name according to their instructions. This will bring a taste for Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotion. The name that appears on the tongue at that time will be Shuddha Nam. At that time, he should diligently give up the company of Namaparadis, because Shuddha Nam will not manifest if one remains in their association. That's very interesting. Because Shuddha Nam is Radharani, and Shuddha Nam is Krishna. And one of Radharani's characteristics, but not so much of Krishna, is Laja. She's sometimes referred as Lajeshwari, Laja Ishwari, the queen of shyness. Radharani is very shy. Even when she walks and she comes out from Barsana and she's going to Nandagaon, or even from Yavat, as soon as she comes out of the palace, she immediately covers her head, as described in Govinda Lilamrita. And she walks along the side of the road, not even the middle of the road. She walks along the very along the edge of the road. And she has Sakis next to her and Mundri's in front of her and behind her. And she's and even though she has her head covered and she's walking on the side of the road, she's looking only looking at the ground. She's so shy. But when Krishna walks down the road, when he walks down the road from Nandagram to Barsana on his way to Govardhan, he passes every morning. He walks right down the middle of the road. He walks down the middle of the road like a drunken elephant. Like when an elephant is already when an elephant walks, it kind of walks like this, and his long trunk is going doot 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 like this, and he's just you know because he has his long nose, is what they call it, trunk, right, and swing back and forth. But then when he's intoxicated, then because when he's not intoxicated, at least he walks in a straight line, swinging his trunk. But when an elephant eats lots of date ras or fermented bananas in a field or something, he gets a little tipsy. Gets drunk, intoxicated. So then he's trunk is swinging, but he's walking this way, that sometimes on the side of the road, sometimes in the middle. So Krishna walks usually in the middle, but just like, you know, I own the place. My father's the king of Vrindavan, Brijendra, and I'm Brijendra Nandan. In other words, my father's the prime minister and I'm his son. Usually this happens. If your father's big man, then you become proud. It's usually like this. Either he's a big politician or he's really wealthy. Then the sons are wealthy. I mean, are also proud. And the classic example is in the Bhagavatam of Manigriva and Nalakuvara. Nalakuvara and Manigriva, their father was the treasurer. He was a minister of treasury. He's a treasury minister, finance minister for the demigods. So he has all the he's controlling all the fixed accounts for 33 million demigods. His name is Kubera. Kubera is the treasurer of the demigods. So he has lots of dough. I mean, he's like, you think Rockefeller is a big guy with the World Bank. Well, this Kubera is really super big. He's so big that even Vishnu works for him. Vishnu is working for him. And all of Vishnu's bhaktas are also working for Kubera. And they go every day. Thousands and thousands of bhaktas go. Vishnu bhaktas, they go to help Vishnu get out of debt. Because Vishnu is in a heavy debt. Now just imagine, he's a husband of Lakshmi, but he's a debtor. You know, he's Lakshminath, but he's in debt. Because actually to get married, he had to take a big loan for his marriage ceremony. So Vishnu had to take a big loan, and the only one who had enough money to pay for the kind of wedding that he wanted, the kind of marriage that he wanted was really 5-star, 10-star. So he had to borrow money from Kubera. And Kubera said, well, wait a minute, Vishnu, how are you going to pay me back? Because you can't be trusted. So he asked Kubera, Kubera asked him, how you pay me back? He said, well, listen, you know, I can't pay you because I'm borrowing money from you for the wedding. I have nothing. But all my bhaktas, they will pay you. They will come and they'll pay you by an installment basis. And I don't know when they'll pay off the debt, but they'll do their best. So he thought, okay, I can't really trust Narayan very much. But Narayan's devotees are pretty honest. Generally, they're pretty honest. So he signed the deal. He signed a loan agreement. So now, even to this day, the bhaktas are still helping Narayan pay off his loan. And that Narayan lives near Chennai and Tirumala Hills. His name is Venkateshwara Balaji. And Balaji took a huge loan from Kubera so he could marry a girl named Lakshmi. Because he couldn't tap into any of her money until after he got married. And once he got married, he said, listen, I have this big debt to arrange for this marriage. Can you help me out? And she said, forget it. That's your debt. I mean, I'm the goddess of fortune. You're fortunate that I married you. I'm not about to tap into any of my money and pay off your debts. That's between you and Kubera. That's before we got married. Don't expect it. You have your bank account, I have mine. This is where this started, all this women working and having their own bank account and men working and have their own bank account. It's Lakshmi from time immemorial. She was the first one to establish women's rights. She says, listen, Narayan, you pay it off yourself, Jack. So this is a Leela with Venkateshwara Balaji. You can go there and see him. And this is how it goes. So the point we're making is that in case you lost the point. The Radharani is very shy, the Jayashri. She's very, very shy. And she is her holy name. Hare is Radha. So if we're chanting the holy name, we're associating with two people. And we're serving two people. One is a very proud and bold person. He's very proud and very bold. And his name is Krishna, or Radharaman, Ram. He's very bold and very proud. But the other person that we're associating with is the Supreme Personality of Servitorship, Godhead. The Supreme Devotee. And she is Hare, Hara, Radha. And she, unlike her proud counterpart, she's very humble. And she's very meek, and she's very shy. So the problem is that if we're chanting the holy name and we associate with Namaparadis, then Radharani, Namaparadis, you know, she's very shy. She runs away. See, a shy person will run away. That's why they look. Like I said, when she walks down the road, she stands on the side of the road. She's afraid. She's shy. She keeps away from strangers, even in Varsana, people. She walks along the side of the road to go to Nandagaon, only in the company of her sakis. She's very shy. So the holy name, Radharani, is her holy name. So she's very shy. So if we mix up with Namaparadis, these are offenders. And Radharani, oh, who are these offenders? And she covers her head and she runs away. So she doesn't want to be there. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakura is saying that Shuddhanam will not manifest if one remains in the association of Namaparadis. Radharani is shy. Radharani only moves where her friends are. She doesn't move with strangers. She doesn't move with offenders. She moves with Lalita and Vishaka and Rupa and Rati, with the devotees, and with her lover, Krishna. So we're chanting the holy name, and we're trying to chant we want to chant pure name, so that means we want to be with Radha and Krishna. We want to always associate with them and serve them and have their darshan and mercy. But then we mix up with Namaparadis, and who are these? And she runs away. Ooh. That's like you go in an Indian house. Lady inside the house, she has her face covered. But as soon as a stranger comes in the house, oh, doom. You know, she looks, oh, it's his friend. Doom, and she covers her head. The Shuddhanam is like this. Shuddhanam means direct sakshat darshan of Nam Rup Radha and Nam Rup Krishna. The Radharani is not going to give her darshan unless you're in the right sangha. So if you're associating with Namaparadis, then Shuddhanam will never come. It's a very, very important point. Summary. In the beginning stage of Namaparad, a devotee is full of unwanted desires. Or maybe they're not so unwanted. He's saying unwanted. It's interesting. We should at least try to come to the level that they're not wanted. It's very interesting. This is from Madhurya Kadambini. Krishna is saying, in the beginning of devotion, in the beginning stage, when one is a Namaparadi, a devotee is full of unwanted desires. Oh, unwanted? No, wanted. I want these desires. What do you say? Who says unwanted? Who's telling unwanted? I want so many things that aren't Krishna, and I have so many unwanted desires also. I want these desires. So I think one thing as a new devotee, we have to come to the stage of realizing that we have some bad desires, and we shouldn't want these. We should not want, and we should get rid of these wants. A devotee is full of unwanted desires, offenses, and ignorance. Well, that we can't deny. If you want to get technical, you can say anarthas, aparads, and avidya. Just like school, when you go to school, you learn the three A's, right? And when at least I don't know, that was old days. When I was in school, they say you have to go to school to learn the three A's: reading, writing, arithmetic. Reading is spelled not with they just said like that. I mean, it was a joke. Reading is spelled with R, and writing is spelled with W, and arithmetic or math is spelled with A. So they would say in the old days, back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, when I went to school, they said, "Oh, you have to learn the three A's: reading, writing, and arithmetic." A reading, and arithmetic. So we have to cross over the three A's. We also have the three A's in devotion. What are the three A's? What are the three A's? Anuradha, Anangamanjari, and Ati Sundari. Arimo! Yeah, Ati Sundari means Radharani, the excessively, absolutely, most incomparably beautiful personality that ever walked on the face of the earth. Ati Sundari. And Anangamandri, her beautiful younger sister. And Anuradha, Lalita Sakhi, who follows Radha wherever she goes. So these are the three A's. Always remember these three A's. Ati Sundari Radharani, then her sister Anangamandri, and then Anuradha Lalita. That, if you do that, you'll be in good shape. But that may not come until we remember to get free from these three A's. First, we have to remember to get free from these three A's, and then if we get free from these three A's, then we can remember those three A's, right? And those three A's are anarthas, aparads, and avidya. So the summary is here. By chanting the holy name sincerely, and by avoiding the 10 offenses, and acquiring sambandha gyan, one rapidly rises to the intermediate stage, or clearing stage of chanting, known as nam abhas. As one continually chants Hare Krishna, he becomes free from all aparads and attains the offenseless platform of liberation. Even though aparads may be absent in the stage of namabhas, traces of avidya and anarthas will still remain. As one continues chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he becomes free from all aparads and attains the offenseless platform of liberation. I guess we can conclude from this statement that if we're still making offenses, that we're not liberated. Even though aparads may be absent at the stage of namabhas, traces of avidya and anarthas still remain. That's discussed in a minute detail in Madhurika Nambani. Gradually one becomes free from anarthas and avidya and acquires a taste in chanting, namruchi. In this way one makes steady progress and eventually reaches the final platform of Shuddha Nam. Free from avidya, anarthas, and aparads, one chants the holy name purely in full knowledge and with full attachment to Radha and Krishna. The two obstacles of anarthas and avidya, which cause the lack of taste in chanting, must be overcome at the level of namabhas. One will surely attain the stage of Shuddha Nam by sadhu sangha, continual chanting, and a conscientious endeavor to remove anarthas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the third verse of Chaitanya's Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Sunichena, is specifically meant to teach sadhakas how to chant without offenses. Jai Ho. So that's the chapter in Namavas, and the next chapter is chapter 5. Is there any questions? One point is that sometimes people think of Namabhas, sometimes devotees think Namabhas is something that comes after 300 years or 10,000 years or something. But actually, Namabhas can come very quickly, very, very quickly, within a few months of taking initiation or even chanting with good association and proper knowledge. It can come very quickly. Of course, one problem with Namabhas, in the beginning, one may approach the beginning of Namabhas, but if one makes Namaparad, then you can go back to, if one makes Vaishnavaparad, because the tendency is still there, because there is some ignorance in us, even at the stage of Namabhas. And as it says, Vishnu is telling that traces of avidya and anarthas remain, even at Namabhas. Because Namabhas can manifest, you can say Namabhas is almost like equivalent to the stage of Nishta. But in Madhurya Kandambani, he's explaining, Vishnu Chakravarti, that these traces of avidya and anarthas, they go all the way up to prema, all the way to the level of prema. So therefore, because of this touch of ignorance, one can get infected by the ignorance, and even at the level of bhava, he can make an aparad, Vaishnava aparad. And that can demote him back to the level of nama aparad, temporarily. So this is... But it's a great achievement. And we see in Jiva Dharma, in this story of these devotees in the beginning, they got the received the holy name and teachings on the holy name, Sambandha Gyan, from their teacher in Mayapur. Within a month or two, they were chanting Namabhas. A few weeks, actually. And they were chanting Namabhas, and they started chanting Shudanam. Because of good association, daily good association, sincere effort, and the mercy of Nam. Because it described how they were experiencing ecstatic symptoms, sattvic vikaras, from chanting. It's only within a few weeks if you see the progression of the story. So it seems miraculous, but the story, the setting of the story, the setting is about 500 years ago, the historical setting, or maybe slightly just after the time, or even just after the time of Raghunath Das, but around the time of Jiva Goswami. That's the setting of the Jiva Dharma, the way he writes it. Because one of the devotees in the story, he comes from Vrindavan, where he met Jiva Goswami, who was the youngest of the Goswamis. So it's, he writes it like this. So that means that 500 years ago, which means not very long ago, this is possible. So we shouldn't think that I'm an eternal aparadi. Sometimes we have generally in this Kali Yuga, we have a very negative attitude about everything. That's the nature of Kali. We have a very negative attitude about everything, including ourselves, and including our own achievements or abilities or possibilities or attainments. And because of that, we kind of limit our progress. We damn ourselves. I'm eternally damned. And in that way, we can't actually absorb the full mercy that's coming our way. You know, the Christians kind of propound this kind of concept, eternal sinner or something like that. I have some idea. I forget. But eternally damned. Oh, I'm an eternal aparadi. No, we should think, this holy name is so powerful. You can maybe an aparadi now, and next week you can just, or tomorrow or today, you can just stop. It's that fast. You can just leave. It's just fixing the mind. And then you can be chanting in the level of Namabhas. And you see. And the whole, it's almost like a whole new life comes in one. And it's not like you have to drag on year after year, I'm aparadi. It's like the albatross or something. You're carrying the albatross around your neck. Jesus, crucifixion, what do they call it? Crucifixion mode. I'm always carrying the cross. Forever carrying the cross on my shoulders. Jesus carried the cross, a wooden cross, which they nailed him to. And the demons. So we're carrying the cross. I'm always carrying the cross, the aparad cross. Hey, what is this? Throw this cross off of here, out of here. I'm going to walk. What is this? Everything is so wonderful and beautiful and pure and clean. And why? What am I? Just get with it. What am I waiting for? It's just like that. It's like, woe is me. It's self-pity. It's another very huge mental disease in Kali Yuga, self-pity and self-indulgence. That I'm very fallen. I'm really fallen and forever fallen, eternally damned. And there's no hope for me. And the world's hopeless. And the air is polluted and the water is polluted. And everything's polluted and I'm polluted. And because if you look around the world, the external world, the material world, is constituted in such a way and moving in such a way that it's definitely a negative number. And if you want to reinforce your negativity, then open newspapers and televisions, and you can increase your negative viewpoints. So if someone wants to avoid negative ions, then he doesn't ever touch such things, because it just increases negative ions in your brain. But if you're always reading Shastra and associating with pure devotees, then all the positive vibrations of the spiritual world come in your brain and in your heart. Then there's so many positive prospects, and everything, the road is wide open, and everything's happy and joyful and blissful, and you're really, and you just put yourself in that. That's me. There I am. And you just step right out of this other world. It's like stepping out of a monkey suit. And sometimes they have fun parties and they have costume parties, and you can go somewhere and you can rent some costume. And you can rent this like monkey, this hairy thing is all this, and then you step into it and zip it up, and it has a mat, and then you put a mask on top, and it has some arms, all hair, little gloves, little claws, and you go to the party, pretend to be a monkey, and you have this big monkey face, like a monster face, and everyone says, who is it? And everyone has to guess who it is, and you have some funny voice, And then he looks and says, well, he's kind of skinny. He looks like Maharaj, you know, or whatever. You know, so we just wear these monkey, these gorilla outfits, you know, gorilla bhaktas, you know. I'm just a monkey of Aparad monkey. I just throw off the suit. I mean, just step out, just take it off and throw it in a pile and torch it, burn it, you know, and live in a free spirit of pure spiritual life. The problem is that nobody beats the drum for positive energy in Kali Yuga. Everyone's beating the drum of negativity and blowing the horns of defeat. Blowing the horns of defeat and beating the drums of negativity. I remember I saw a movie when I was a kid called The Drums of Navarón. Something like that. Some kind of war movie or something. About 5 years old. But, you know, so the Maya is beating everyone into submission. The advertising, the politics, the infighting and the everywhere is just negativity, is just everywhere. So that's why we have sadhu sangha. We everyone get together in a little positive group, get together in your Shiva Sangham. You have to establish Shiva Sanghams all around the world. Shiva Sangha means a place where Radharani lives. A place where pure bhakti lives. It's called Shiva Sangham. Shri means pure bhakti, Radharani. And Vas means resonance. And Anga means place or limb or extension. So this is, we have to establish Shiva Sanghams everywhere, in every city, in every town, every house. It becomes Shiva Sangham. And what happened in Shiva Sangham? Gadadhar Radharani went there, and Mahaprabhu Krishna went there. And then 200 Sakis and Mandris went there in their Gaur Sarups. And they went inside there and they locked the door in that Shiva Sangham. And they entered into the realm of pure devotion by dancing, by chanting, by singing the Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam. And nobody that didn't have pure bhakti, no negative ions were allowed in there. No negative numbers. They were all kept outside, all the Durga worshippers, all the Shaktas, all the worshippers of the material energy, all the negative numbers, they were kept outside, beating on the door. Hey, let us in. So when the Madhurya got so deep, after 1 year, they were relishing and swimming in such an ocean of Madhurya. It was so deep and so thick and so condensed that it was exploding. It was like as a phrase Sridhar Swami used, he described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the golden volcano of divine love. So that volcano was boiling inside the Shri Vasangam, and everyone was relishing that prem lava, deep Madhurya prem. Everyone was absorbed in Braja prem. In their Mandri Sarups. Externally, they're Kaishor Brahmins. They're all pandits. Kaishor Navadeep Brahmins. Except for a few. Advaita was exhibiting at that time somewhat older form. And Srivas Thakur was older. And Chandrasekhar Acharya and others. I don't actually know if he was there. But different ones were there in the Sankirtan party. And then when Madhurya became so deep and so profound and it was erupting and about to explode and they couldn't contain it anymore in the Shiva Sangam, then they opened the gates and then poured out the Audarya. The Audarya started to flow through the streets of Navadvip and into every town and village. But the center, the Audarya only flows on the basis of Madhurya. There's no Madhurya, you can't have Audarya. Audarya is the outpouring of Madhurya. So you can't in Vrindavan Leela, there must be Audarya because Madhurya is always boiling and bubbling, and when it boils and bubbles, then it becomes Swetadweep, becomes Navadweep. That's in there. So it's like two sides of one thing: Audarya, Madhurya, Madhurya, Audarya. So this is the thing about this Namabhas is really, it's like, well, it's like we have some kind of telescope. These what they call Mount Palomar or something in California. There's a huge telescope. What do they call it, telescope? You know, when you look at the stars, some kind of telescope. And they look and they see the rings around. What is it, Saturn or something? Saturn has a ring. You see the rings around Saturn and see the moons around this other planet. Jupiter has moons around it, and they see all these things way out there. So sometimes devotees, they think, oh, Namabhas is like, I'm looking through a polymer, through a telescope. Oh, Namabhas. Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, it's way out there. Maybe I'll land there in some distant life. But it's really, as he says, a conscientious endeavor. One will surely attain the stage of Shuddhanam by sadhu sangha, continual chanting, and conscientious endeavor to remove anarthas. So Namabhas, everyone should be on the stage of Namabhas, at least. And Shudanam, Shudanam is also not so imaginary and difficult and impossible as everyone may think. And that we'll discuss tomorrow. There's one chapter, small discussion of Shudanam. Not much to discuss, just because it comes. Any questions? Yes?
Can we chant Namabhas even though we are in the Namabhas stage? Is it possible?
Well, that Vishnu is saying that there's some aparads. Because Namaparad, the 10 aparads include everything. Everything's there. Because the Shastras are there, and Krishna is there, and Vaishnavas are there. Everything is included. So there's no aparads that aren't included in the Das aparad, basically. But he's saying that you can chant even up to, even at the level of Shudanam, level of Bhava, we're chanting Shudanam, but there can be still some minor, fine threads, as he calls fragrance of anarthas, a tendency. It's like a tendency to commit something, but it can't be activated at the level of Bhava. Could be, if you really go out of your way and make Vaishnava aparad. So, yes, you can chant Namabhas, and you can even chant Shudanam, and there's still some very minor, what he calls, fragrance of aparad there.
So what are the symptoms, Maharaj? How would we know?
Know what? What symptoms of what?
Well, we know that the anarthas are there, we know the aparads are there, so how do we know we are really chanting Namabhas? Like, I'm trying to get more practical. It's right now a very hazy picture.
Yeah, well, anywhere you read all the books about Namabhas and all the discussions about Namabhas, it's all summarized in this chapter. And basically, it's a matter of you feel within yourself, you feel not the absence of envy. That's the first criterion. You're chanting Namabhas. So that's practical. You don't feel envy for other living entities. Dvesh. Because that's basically what Namabhas is freedom from envy. To put it in one word. It's here, because everything, all the available descriptions of Namabhas, which we've ever read, they just say that it's like what is in here. That's my summary of it, what I understand from my own experience, is that you're free from envy of others. Because what they'll say here, which we already read, is that stage of Namabhas means that there's 10 offenses, and then let's get practical. You review the 10 offenses, Shastra Ninda. Are you offending the Shastra? Well, you are. You're offending a Shastra. Shastra say take initiation from a Guru. And you're not initiated, then you're offending Shastra. You say, well, I'm looking for a Guru. Well, you're really looking, or you're just sitting back and being happy? You know, there's like so many, you know, each one. I mean, just, you know, you want to get really like pinching, tight. You know, review the 10 offenses and then, and don't spare yourself. Because our tendency is to spare ourselves. Well, you know, I'm a good guy and I'm not really making that offense. You know, I'm a pretty good guy and I didn't punch anybody this week. I paid my electric bill and everybody thinks I'm a nice guy. So it's hard to be, the most difficult thing is to be hard on ourselves. No one can see the faults in themselves, but just ask anybody near you. You see any faults in me? Oh, you really want to know? Well, okay. You know, let me unload my AK-47. I got 60 shots in this clip here, and I'll just let you have them. Oh, is that all? Do I have any more faults? Well, yeah, I can load another clip on here. You ready? Whew. Wow, 120 faults. Yeah, and there's more. Okay, that's enough. I think I'll go now. I can. There's hardly anything left to me. All you put so many holes in me. There's nothing left. So generally, we don't want to face the music. We don't want anyone to give us the good times, you know. So when we try to do self-analysis, we don't get very far. Let me analyze myself here. Let me be a little introspective. Yeah, I'm a good guy, and You know, self-analysis only lasts about 5 seconds. When you start to analyze yourself, you say, well, what are my bad qualities? Well, I don't, can't see any. And okay, end the analysis. So you just go through the 10 offenses and see, because that's what it said. This, it gives you the characteristics. This is it, right? What, you're free from offenses. And of course, the subtle aspect. In other words, what Namavas means is that you are not consciously committing any of the 10 offenses. And in order to know that, then there has to be Samban again. That's why it says it. Without Samban again, you can't chant without making offenses. You don't even know. You don't know the nuances or what the offenses are and how they apply, how to apply them. So that's the Samban again. Because chanting Hare Krishna doesn't wait for initiation. You don't need a guru to chant Hare Krishna. It's not an initiation function. It's not a Vedic mantra or a Pancharatrika mantra. It's Krishna, Sakshat Krishna. It's not a Pancharatrika mantra. It's not a Vedic mantra. So there's no diksha there. You just chant. But the problem is, without having Sadhu Sangha and receiving Sambandha again, then you chant imperfectly and incorrectly and you get nowhere. Or you get somewhere. Gradually, after 3,000 lifetimes, you realize, oh, I think I need a guru. This chanting is not enough. So that will be an installment of mercy from the holy name. So therefore, when you understand, the first thing is, okay, I have 10 offenses, I've read it, I heard it, it's a nectar devotion, okay, there it is. No, there's a lot more to it. I mean, there's a whole chapter here about the 10 offenses, and there's so much more in other books. The nuances and the aspects of the 10 offenses. And then, oh, really? I thought I was not making that offense. So we have to attain Sambandha again, full knowledge about Nam Sambandha. What is the holy name? How to chant correctly? That's what he said. This is one of the aparads. Sadhana sadhya brahm. To be an illusion about the process of sadhana and the goal of sadhana. This is one of the anarthas. There's four tattva brahms. Jiva brahm. Ishvara brahm. So, this is the thing. So, first we have to remove ignorance with Sambandha again. Then we have to properly do nam bhajan. Then when we do that, then we'll come to the stage of non-enviousness. Then we'll say, oh, I'm in the level of non-enviousness. It's very practical. It's not a very clear thing. No, that's not a...
How to maintain this focus during the daily grind of survival, right? Because it's day by day after day after day.
It's a grind, all right. Grinding us down.
Grind of survival. And how to overcome and transcend that grind of survival.
I don't know if we're going to. As long as we're in this material world, we have to be ground. We're being ground until we go to the spiritual world. We're going to be ground and grounded. This is the grind goes on until we get our wings, so to speak. The grind will always go on. The material world is grinding. It's grinding to a halt because it's only a matter of one breath. It's only a matter of one breath of Vishnu. He exhales and it's prakat, and he inhales is aprakat. So it's already been exhaled. Now we're on our way inhaling. So this whole material world is grinding to a halt. It's all coming to an end. Gradually. So the grind will go on, but the main thing is to fix our consciousness on the Supreme. That's the basic teaching everywhere. The grind is going on, but the body is being ground, and the mind is being ground, but the consciousness is with Krishna. This is a simple answer, but I guess the application is the difficult part. And then the question is, well, how do you fix the consciousness on the Supreme? And obviously, you know the answer. Chant Hare Krishna. And then along with chanting it, you connect everything. What I find myself, because I'm in the middle of the grind, as everyone else is, or being ground under I'd rather say I'm under the steamroller. Grinding is one thing, is a little thing on your, grind some spices. And, the spices don't stay in there very long, but I feel like I'm on a road being rolled over by a steamroller when they make the paving, they roll the pavement. But what I find it seems to work is to try to connect everything with Krishna. So as we get more sambandha gyan of Krishna's qualities and his pastimes, then this ground up world becomes like becomes, instead of ground pepper, it becomes ground misery. You can grind misery into powder and you get sugar powder, and you can grind pepper into powder and you get black pepper powder. So to try to trace out Krishna in the circumstances, in the situations, this is a kind of a fun, adds a kind of a fun touch to the whole grind. And the more we know Leela, the more we know Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela, which it's called applied knowledge or applied technology. We study and we study and we study. Then we go out into the field and we apply our knowledge. Theoretical knowledge becomes practical knowledge. You study in school, then you apply your knowledge in the field. You study so much about medicine, then you go and become a doctor. Then, we study this and this and that. And so we learn all these things, then we go into the field and say, oh, it's like this. Oh, look. Like you see somebody, you know, like for example, you're walking through, there's one little village you walk through on Govardhan Parikrama, and this mother was chasing her kid with a stick. I mean, that's a pretty obvious connection if you're tuned in. Otherwise, you say, hey, what's this lady chasing her son? I said, oh, look at Yashoda chasing Damodar. And everyone's looking at me, that's not Yashoda, that's not Damodar. And as soon as I thought that, and I saw that, then I was out of the grind. I was in the mystery. I was relishing, I was licking up the sugar candy. And that's what you see, when you go you meet these old saints of Braj. You go there with some children, and you have, if you have a son or a daughter or something like that, and you go there with some people, and as soon as he sees the little boy, oh, Gopal. He doesn't ask you what the kid's name is. He doesn't care. He just says, oh, here's Gopal. Hey, Gopal, take Gopal. And then he just forgets all about you. Because maybe he's in Gopal Bhav, or what? Who knows what his Bhav is. But you went there asking some questions, and you came there with some grihasthas to have a little 4-year-old kid or something. And he doesn't even care about you anymore. Hey, Gopal, come on, take some sweets, Gopal. Oh, you're going to steal my yogurt, Gopal? And he just gets lost with this kid becomes an udipan for this old saint to get, you know, absorb himself in Krishna. We say, hey, Baba, wait a minute, you know, we want to ask you some questions. Pull out of your bhav, will you? You know, stop being Krishna conscious and help us poor guys out, you know. So that's on the high end of things. As Krishna is telling in Gita, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. Now this is Madhurya Drishti, Madhurya Bhav, the sweet vision. So we have to fill our hearts, we have to fill our minds with the sweetness of Braj Leela and Gaur Leela. And then we have to carry that sweet knowledge into our daily life and look at the world through the eyes of that knowledge, Shastra Chakshush. It's called Shastra Chakshush. We have to look at the world through the eyes of that knowledge and then see the sweetness everywhere. Just see Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela everywhere, and that's Madhurya Drishti. And then if you get into distributing that sweetness that you're feeling, then you're in Audarya Drishti. Because then you see, oh, he's in the grind. She's in the grind. I should give them, they're eating black pepper. They're being burned. I should give them some sweetness. So then your Madhurya Drishti becomes Audarya Drishti. And you see opportunities for preaching and opportunities for giving Krishna to others. Giving the holy name, giving a book, giving prasad. It's all sweetness. Giving means love. Love means sweetness. You can't be a loving entity unless your heart is full of sweetness. So this is, preaching is based on giving, and giving is based on love, and love means sweetness. So these two ways of seeing will become part and parcel of a devotee as he goes forward in Krishna consciousness. But first we have to get out of the black pepper ourselves. As you said, we're in the grind. And I'm just giving some ideas that I try to implement myself. And when you try, then Krishna starts showing everywhere you're seeing. You start to see it. Some bird lands here and you say, oh, Daksha, what are you doing here, you stupid? You know, Daksha is Krishna's pet parrot. You say, you're spying on Radharani, get out from here. You know, You just think like this. You know, it's not, oh, there's, hey Maharaj, look at the parrot in the tree. You know, I said, that's Manjubhashini. And she's seeing what we're not seeing. She's seeing Naprakat Leela. It's going on right here. In Radhika, and then she's giving a report and she's going to fly off and tell Krishna. Or whatever. So it's, then as they say, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. The whole Vishvam, the whole universe becomes full of happiness. Right? Vishram Purnam Purnam Sukhayate. Sukha means happiness. Because the one for the Brahman realized soul, everything is Brahman. He just sees Brahman everywhere. So he's in Brahmanand. But for us, we want to be in Premanand. It's practice. And it pays off because Krishna helps us.